your girl, Claudia Jordan. Welcome to the show. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. Now sit back, relax, and get ready for this hot tea we got for you tonight. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
What's going on, Claudia?
Just happy about spring break, but then sad because that means a lot of people are going to be inflating up the flights. And, you know, I like to stay on an island around this time, but we'll see what happens. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
What's going on, Claudia? How are you?
I am good. How was everybody's weekend? Anything? Y'all behaving this past weekend?
I behaved. Today's my first day back. You know, my students were on spring break last week. So I'm excited to be back with them this week. So, yeah, I had to behave.
Okay, Armand, I know you're off the cleanse, so how was your weekend?
Yeah, I kept it real cute, though. So I had a pretty good weekend. I had a real chill time. It was cool.
Okay, he ain't saying much, so he's probably something filthy. All right, are we drinking today or nah?
I'm a nah.
Nah, not today.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see how this goes. Let's get to the topics. Whoopi Goldberg is coming to the defense of Malia Obama after trolls are criticizing her film career. Now, the haters are questioning why she chose not to use her famous last name to promote her first short film. Whoopi said, if she knows she's an Obama, why do you care? Why do you care what she calls herself? If she wanted to call herself Jeanette McDonald, she has the right to. If I can be Whoopi Goldberg, she can be whoever the hell she wants to be. Do you agree with Whoopi's remarks, Al?
Oh, well, of course we have to agree with her remarks, right? Because Whoopi's real name is Karen Elaine Johnson, and she didn't like it. So she changed it. She changed it to Whoopi Goldberg. So, hey, if what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? So why can't she change her name? Mm-hmm. Why can't the young lady change her name? I can say this. None of us in the United States of America can say that we were the daughter of the first Black president of the United States of America. We don't know what that feels like. We don't know the stigma that comes with that. And maybe she just wants to be creative without the stigma of being an Obama. And I think that's okay. So go with the young lady and have fun. If that's what makes you feel comfortable, if that's what puts you in that creative zone to make great content, because you're pretty good, I must say, and can't wait to see what else you produce, then go for it.
I think it's admirable because, of course, she could take the easy route and just get things on the strength of her being an Obama. But the fact that she wants to kind of have her own identity and be judged on her merits, that's what it seems to me. I think that's admirable of her. She could, you know, easily take advantage of the nepotism and the favor that she gets just by having that last name. But she chose, hey, I want to make my own name. So, you know what? And also, this is another case. You know, she'd be damned if she do, damned if she don't. So do what the hell you damn want to, Malia. Armand, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with both of you guys. I feel like, you know, she probably doesn't want to feel like she's getting the easy route. She wants people to respect her craft. And I think, too, you know, she's an Obama. She knows she's an Obama, but that was her parents' journey. You know, that wasn't necessarily her journey. So she wants to carve out her own lane. And sometimes the last name Obama can come with so much extra stuff that it can overshadow actually what she's trying to do. And maybe she just wants her work to live freely without any attachments of her celebrity parents. So I totally agree with you guys. And I think it's fair.
And imagine how much drama they've gotten just because of their last name their entire life. They can't do anything, right? All right. We got to look out for this young lady. I hear she's quite talented and she's, you know, she's about her business. All right. A clip of rapper Killer Mike shutting down a young boy's dream to become the next president is resurfacing on social media. Killer Mike told the young boy, if you know you owe it to your parents to dream practical and start making money as soon as you can, like you're not going to be able to be president. What are your thoughts on Killer Mike shutting down this young boy's dream? Or is it practical advice, Armand? What do you think?
That pissed like somebody telling him, you are big, you are Black, you are dark, and you will never be successful. You know what I mean? Yes. That's kind of how that felt to me. And who are you to sit up here after you've got your Grammy Awards, you've had your success, you've overcame adversity, and you just sit there and tell kids to think practical and to think, you know, be regular, you know, and at that age, I don't even know what practical thinking is. At that age, to me, all I know how to do is dream big. All I know is the biggest things that I've seen. I'm not thinking, you know, let me just go and be a janitor. Let me think practical because that's what we have to do. I don't start thinking practical until I realize, oh, wow, reality is starting to set in. I'm getting grown now. There's bills, you know, but while I'm a kid, I'm a big dreamer. And I think that, you know, he could have shattered that kid's dreams right then and there because at that age, you're like a sponge. one. So you absorb everything. And that kid can remember, if he didn't remember anything from that day, he can probably take on all his years of remembering one day Killer Mike came in and said, you'll never be president. And that could have destroyed that kid. So yeah, I think that was nasty, 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 nasty.
It definitely sticks with you. After Al goes, I'll share a story. Al, what do you think?
Yeah.
I agree with Ahmad. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you, Killer Mike. How dare you? And especially coming from a black man who has defied so many odds. Look, you're damn near 50, if not 50. And look, you finally got your flowers. What if people told you that you needed to get out of the game when you didn't hit it 30 or 35 and told you to go be realistic because this is a young people, young rappers, young performers game. And you didn't listen to that negativity, and look where you are now. And the sad part for me was the hypocrisy. I watched that video, and there was another young man seated right beside that little black boy. It was a white boy talking about he wanted to turn his family into superheroes and that they were going to like conquer the world. He didn't tell that young man that was unrealistic and that there aren't any superheroes. Why did you take the opportunity of one of the only little black boys in that room to say to him that whatever it is that he's dreaming, that it's not going to come true? I found that to be just very, very, very immature at best. And come on, Killer Mike, you can definitely do better. And we've got to uplift, especially our young black little boys. Come on, you should know this better than anybody. Shame on you.
You know, black people already have it enough from the outside world. We don't need it from our families. We already told we're not good enough. We have to be worked twice as hard to get half the pay, half the accolades. I remember when I was younger, I was telling one of my family members, I want to be a scientist. And she said, you're not going to be a scientist. You're going to work at McDonald's like the rest of your cousins. And I was like, I am 50 years old and I still remember that.
Yeah.
I still remember that.
Yes.
Like, and
you
what if I would have believed
stuff.
Her? What if I would have believed her and had no confidence? And then I chose a career that you have to have the most confidence in and be the most delusional to think you're going to make it and this kind of thing. To be super successful, you almost have to be delusional about your odds. You right. to jump into something that one in 500,000 make it. Right. You have to be able to be like, you know what? It's bigger than me, but I think there's a space for me. And maybe Mike was trying to say this because he didn't see much in this boy, but that's okay too. If you don't believe this kid's gonna make it, will it hurt you to just blow a little smoke up with this kid for a little bit? Is it gonna hurt you by saying that? Mike, you just had an amazing year. And I thought your career was dead as far as being a rapper. And look at you. You won all those Grammys to sit there and then turn around and tell someone who's already marginalized by white America. And you're so pro-black, Mike. Yeah. I'm actually surprised you did this. I'm really surprised. And I think it's kind of sad. Maybe you could have given them some practical advice. Along with something inspirational. You can have some balance. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, Al. You want to say something?
Oh, no. I said, or just don't say anything to him. Like, why does it have to be you're not going to be the president? You know what I mean? Just don't say anything. Say, oh, that's a good thought, young man. I wish you the best. It's really easy. I do it every day in the classrooms.
And if you're not going to be president, the kid can maybe still be inspired to be a senator, a judge, right. a congressman. There's so many other areas in politics. Okay, moving on. Shame on you, Mike. A super fan of Donald Trump is speaking out after he paid $9,000 for Donald Trump signed sneakers. Check this out.
You want to hate me for wanting this country to be great again? Go ahead and judge the sneakerhead. But no matter what, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May sound cliche, but that's how I feel. Thank you, and God bless America.
I'm going first. Y'all white people kill me when you pick and choose what parts of the Constitution that you're so rocking with. And I'm so about the Constitution, except the part about all men being created equal, because it doesn't include minorities. It only includes white Christians. That's who you're talking to. You have a guy that is your champion and you feel big and bad and your dick feels bigger right now, but it's still the same size and you're still stupid. I bet you don't really have the extra funds for that $9,000. I bet you want your money back. And I bet you feel stupid because a week or two after the sneakers went on sale, they were already on Nordstrom's Rack clearance for like $99. So do you think buying these sneakers, helping a billionaire pay his legal fees, is really gonna make you be a better American? Let me tell you what helps you be a better American. Having empathy for immigrants because your parents were immigrants, okay? Caring about, you know, other people getting help in your communities that are struggling. That's supposed to be the American way. You know how we fight other people's battles in other countries? Caring about your fellow Americans, not someone that makes you feel good about your whiteness and putting down other people. Like, miss me with the BS. Anyways, go ahead. Armand, what do you think?
He is actually caring for other people. He bought multiple pairs of those shoes, right? I think he bought like 9 or 10 pairs. Here's the thing. The guy said he's a Republican. He supports Trump. He's a sneakerhead. Who are we to judge? Who are we to be upset because he wanted to buy the sneakers? I would have bought the sneakers too. Honestly,
oh, that's right. You like those trash sneakers.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we can't be mad at him for exercising his right. It's his right.
Oh, I'm not mad at him for exercising his right. I just think there's a real problem with the Republican Party right now. And I think a lot of them are just sick in the head and it's become a cult. That's what I think. But that's just my opinion. Al, what do you think about this dude buying, spending $9,000 on these made in China $250 sneakers that really are inflated?
I think he's delusional. I think he's delusional. And I think he probably couldn't tell you 4 or 5 things that Trump has been able to pass in Congress for the benefit of anyone or anything. I think he's on this wave of being, you know, a supporter of someone who's contrarian. And you can see it. That's why he spent $9,000 on it. Now, better, you know, we figured all that out. Claudia, you handed him. The question I have is for Armand. Because you know, Armand, I'm coming for you, right? Because you would be over there buying these shoes at this auction, like throwing your paddle up. So, like, let's just go on and put it out there. Would you vote for Trump? Are you a Trump voting card member? Are you a Republican? Like, I need to know. I just want to know, what's the logic behind you supporting this type of behavior?
I'm not getting into whether I will vote for Trump or not, because I don't know. I'm going to go where I'm led. Okay, that's just where I will start there. But as far as the shoes, I just feel like they're shoes, guys. They're shoes. Like, they're shoes. I would buy the shoes.
Would you buy it? Hey, Claudia.
Would you buy
it? Serious.
Let me ask you, Armand, if you were around like in the 40s and 50s, would you buy a shoe if Hitler put a shoe out?
The thing is, I don't believe that Trump is Hitler, though.
Do you know who Hitler is?
Yes, I know who Hitler is.
Do you know he studies Hitler and he's using a lot of the same tactics as
tactics,
Hitler?
Tactics, yeah.
It's happening.
I told you. You know, you can always say, go.
No, because y'all not going to get me going on here because I'm not getting into this yet.
It's, you know what? Too. As much as it's you like to gag us on a hot topic, I'm going to gag you on politics because that's why I'm an expert.
It's still food.
No, it's not.
I like Trump. I like Trump.
Why?
I like Trump. Why do you like Trump?
What has Trump done?
Some of the most money with Trump in office.
Are you talking about the $1,400?
Some of the most money. My business did really well.
Okay, so let me just ask.
I've lived some of my best life while Trump has been in office. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, so let me ask you something. What years was Trump in office?
I'm not doing it.
Armand, you gotta back your claims on TGIF.
Right.
Hey. Just like we was talking about Meg Thee Stallion or Nicki, they were you being expert. You gotta hold you to the fire when it's about stuff that we think.
I just want to know, what years was Trump in office? It was your best years.
I'm not doing it.
I feel a little capping going on.
Y'all want to cancel me?
Oh, go on to the next day, Claudia.
So disappointing. Y'all got bought up for $1,400. Armand, $1,400 can buy one designer pair of shoes, maybe.
Gucci.
Oh, my God. Okay, we'll move on. Keep it locked because coming up next, find out what we would do in sticky situations. And later we have your tea fact of the day. And we're going to dive deeper into Armand being a Republican and being MAGA. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Soulmates, have y'all ever thought about how you'd handle yourselves if you were placed in the middle of an unexpected situation? Well, we'd like you to chime in the chat in a fun segment we like to call hashtag what would you do? All right, after 51 years of marriage, a judge recently found out that his kids do not belong to him. Oh, take a look.
Needed to take a test to see if any of us had a kidney good enough for my brother. Found out something interesting. They ain't my kids. Of course, the only good thing is, I know it's not my fault that those two idiots got dumped into this world. Hell, I thought they took after their mother.
Oh my God, what would you do if someone told you after 50 plus years of marriage that your kids were not yours or mine? What do you think?
There's not really much you can do. I think I'd just move on and get over it at that point. You know what I mean? I'd be a little sad, but I mean, after that much time, everything is done. The damage is done at that point. So I'd probably get over it and laugh about it, honestly.
Laugh? Really? You don't think you'd be
What, I mean, of course it'd be gut-wrenching, but what do you do? I'm sure after 50 plus years of marriage, you went through a lot of stuff. So, I mean, you probably had hints and clues that the kids probably weren't yours in the first place. You probably just ignored the signs. So you probably know. You know what I mean? You know.
This happened in my family. Al, what would you do?
I think I would put her out. Honestly, I really feel like I would put her out because I feel like 51 years, nowhere in that time could you have been honest with me or found a time to be honest with me that those kids are not mine. The next thing I want to know is whose kids they are. And the last thing is, why did you wait until somebody needed a kidney? There was a life-threatening thing, event going on before I find out. That's the only reason he found out. Whoever was lying to him would let him go to his grave with, you know, believing that those kids were his. Only way he found out was because there was a life-threatening event going on. No, that's too much deception. That's too much lying. I would put her out because Lord knows if I had passed and left her all my fortune, I would be pissed.
This is so filthy on the woman's part. What would I do if I was the man? I don't know. I would find it hard to not want to choke her out if I'm being honest about it. I have a sister in Rhode Island. She doesn't even know I'm her sister, but I'm going to put it out there because I don't care. Your parents lied to you. Melissa, you are my sister. And for years, you've been thinking someone else is your daddy and your daddy is my daddy. So I want help. Anybody in Rhode Island, if you can help me, I made this plea before. I just think it's awful. You're letting people, you're holding people from knowing who they really are related to.
Right.
You sat there and watched that child grow up and not look like the real parent. I mean, not look like the parent you told them. You let them, the father, hold that baby with pride and think, this is my baby.
And protect them. Right.
So mean. I hate this. I really hate when women do this. I don't know how the hell you live with yourself and you could just be okay with that and think it's cute. I get after so much time goes by, you're like, well, so much time. But those first few months, you never felt like, let me just tell him now. Because now, that's crushing to your soul. Melissa in Providence, Rhode Island. I heard you was pre-med. Holla at your sister. I'm your sister. You got a famous sister. Holla at me. We're gonna go visit daddy and have a little talk. All right. A 69-year-old old man is facing serious charges after stabbing a man in the butt during a dispute over a workout machine at LA Fitness. Now, the suspect was upset that the gym goer was using the leg press machine and told him to find something else to do. Once the suspect crossed paths with the victim in the locker room, he then chased him and stabbed him in the buttocks area with a folding knife. What would you do if you were in this situation in the gym? And would you file a lawsuit against the gym for allowing someone inside with a weapon? Al, we know you're going to sue. After you sue. Or before you sue, what you do? You put hands on this person or not?
You know, I have always said babies, kids, and the elderly, I do not mess with. But this right here, if you're trying to kill me, I definitely would have had to swing on Pops. Because he's got a knife and he stabbed me in my butt. Like, yeah, Pops, I'm going to swing on you on this one. And I probably would sue, you know, LA Fitness for, you know, a negligent supervision. Like, you know, letting him carry a weapon like that into the gym or try to figure out some way. But yeah, definitely, Pops, I would put hands on you.
I don't care if someone's old or not. You still getting the smoke. Because at one point, you was my age. So you stab me in the butt, I'm going to take that knife and stab you in the chest. Armand, what you doing?
Yeah, I probably would have grabbed the nearest dumbbell and beat the brakes off of Pops because he would have me messed up. Too, you know, and that's just unsanitary. And then I probably would have been paranoid, would have to go get tested because you just randomly poking people in the butt with knives. That's how you get diseases and stuff. So that's couldn't be safe. Also,
it's a knife. It's a knife, Armand. Not...
but still, but you stab. So, well, who knows? He's done it before.
I think it's the way you said poke him in the butt.
Just poking people in the butts with knives and stuff. I don't know. I get scared when you poke me with a needle. Don't stab me with no knife. And so at the end of the day, I'm uncomfortable with that. And I feel like the gyms, they need to do better about making sure that, you know, people are not bringing these kind of weapons into there. So I don't know if they got to get metal detectors or what they got to do, but they need to assess the situation and make sure that people are safe at these gyms, because people start getting really crazy at these public gyms over these machines. That's why I like having my trainer come to me and we go into my apartment. But even in those apartments, you know, people, you know, the gym culture, sometimes people, they get real territorial about their machines. And so it could kind of get messy in there.
If y'all have never had an altercation with an old person, like elderly, it's like scary and funny at the same time.
Yes.
Because I've had one. Omarosa's mother tried to, she punched me in the arm in the red carpet at the BET. It was so weak. Like, she made this ferocious face, like, ah. And then she was like, and by the time it hit my arm, had nothing on it. It's like, you want to be mad, but then it was like so pathetic at the same time. But that's, this was a knife, so it was a little bit different. But it is kind of like when an old person got smoke for you, you're like, Ma, come, please sit down.
Right.
Please, sir. Right. Okay. We all know open marriages are not a thing of the past. And it seems like many couples are even more interested in the non-traditional idea. What would you do if your significant other expressed interest in being in an open relationship, Armand?
An open relationship is a bit crazy. I don't think I could do a fully open relationship, just because to ask you how your day is and to know that, hey, you know, you went out and slept with somebody else today, for me, that would make me feel uncomfortable. So probably not. I'm not really interested in the open relationship idea.
Okay, Al, what would you do?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm into open relationship, Claudia, but I will tell you this. I'm learning and I'm becoming more attractive to a non-traditional relationship. And let me share with you what I mean. So I really feel like, and anybody interested, let me know. I really feel like I could be open to having a female and having a male at the same time. So not open where we can all just like go and sleep with whoever we want to, but it'd be the three of us. And it's taken me a minute to get to that point, but I seriously, you know, there was a point where I was like, no, 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 you know, it needs to be one or the other. But I seriously, seriously, seriously think moving forward, I would like to have that combination.
Okay. I'm a traditional girl, but if it's an open relationship, usually it's for the benefit of the man because they want to still fool around. And meanwhile, the girl stays home looking dumb. It would have to be both of us. It's got to be what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And you can't be off in my business if you're doing your thing. So it would have to be very even. It could not be lopsided at all. But I'm really not into all those multiple different fluids and multiple different energies around me. But if it's good enough, if you can do it, then I can do it. If you want me to do it.
I'm actually finding more women nowadays actually doing that kind of stuff, especially women with power. Mm-hmm. They're now women that are becoming breadwinners of the household. They are typically now stepping out and you know, having other men. And while the man is staying home watching the children, it's becoming
a reversal of gender, of traditional roles. I feel like women becoming more in that masculine role. I wish it wasn't like that, actually. I don't like it. I wish it wasn't like that. But unfortunately, it is. Keep it locked, because coming up next, we have your tea fact of the day. And later, find out why Tina Knowles is calling out the country trolls. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, we can all agree that social media tends to resurface some of the most random facts in pop culture history. So it's only fair that we unpack those facts in our Tea Fact of the Day. Today's Tea Fact of the Day is dedicated to Alicia Moore, aka Pink. Back in 1998, Pink had to make a difficult choice in her career to either stay with her group or sign a solo deal with LA LaFace Records. Well, it's safe to say the powerhouse singer took the solo deal, rebranded her persona, dyed her hair pink, and dropped her hit song, There You Go. What are your thoughts on this tea fact of the day? Now, I know, Armand, this may be before you was born.
No, I know Pink.
You know Pink? Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let me go to you first then. What do you think about this?
I think she made a great move for herself. I actually like R&B Pink better than the pop rock Pink and, you know, flying from the ceiling Pink. But I think she did what she needed to do. She made a chess move for her career. And I think that that was dope. And it ultimately made her who she is today. So I think that was a move well done, made well done.
And I'm sure it had to be scary. Like, you want the comfort of a group and you're like, the loyalty thing, I don't want to leave them behind. And you, there's like a little bit of survivor's remorse if you do make it without them, you know? So kudos to her for choosing herself. Al, what do you think?
Well, you know what? That was interesting, Claudia, because she really, when she got with LaFay, she was signed as an R&B artist, right? And so she basically dumped the other two girls. But the interesting part was, you remember Candy Burris wrote her first song as an R&B solo artist, and that particular song went platinum. So she did very well, but from what the Rumble said, she never liked being an R&B artist, and she kept fighting against it. So finally they were like, okay, let's turn this pop. And pop is exactly what she did. She popped and became one of the most, you know, celebrated pop rock artists in the game. So it worked out, huh?
Sure did. All right, y'all. On that note, let's get back to some more topics. We have an update on the homeless couple that was removed from their storage last month. When social media told them to get a job, the couple replied and said, yes, that's what my mom and dad would say. Job, 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 job. We're going to make a video on how we're too smart for that. We're too smart for that. Homeless and smart. We're too smart for that bleep. Okay. Judging from that, it doesn't sound too smart. Armand, what do you think about this couple?
Yeah, I'll stay dumb then, because I don't want to be homeless. And I just think that there's a little bit of a mental illness there. I think they're a little drug addicts. And I just think, you know, he's a little bit of a manipulator, because I think he's using her OnlyFans money, her TikTok money, and he's just lazy. He doesn't want to get a job, and he's got a girl that is probably having low self-esteem, and she's with a guy that's able to manipulate her into living out in the cold. So she's dumb. She needs to get from under him, and he's a lazy guy that doesn't want to do anything for himself, and he's living off of her.
All my young girls out there, you'll get the lesson when you get older. There's no D that's that good to do this. Like, there's a whole new world outside of the, for the most part, comes from broke men, because that's all they got. Age, I mean, please, lady, you're going to look back at this time in your life and feel so stupid. We've all been a little bit like, damn, this is really good, but not to the point of living in a storage unit. Al, what do you think about this?
And a tent and being homeless. I feel like this. I'm like, if you're so smart, then why haven't you taken that viral moment and capitalized on it? So make the clips, like, be an influence on how to be homeless or how to survive homelessness. I mean, this is easy. Like, you know, take us from where you pitch your tent and where you go and how you decide to go. Take us and share with us, where do you wash? Where do you bathe? Where do you brush your teeth? Where do you shop? Where do you keep your groceries? How do you decide what goes with you to the next tent stand or whatever? Like, come on, bro. You have gone viral. Everyone's talking about you. You've landed on TGIF at least twice. How and why haven't you capitalized on that? Like, maybe the two of you should do an OnlyFans together. Like, you've been given so many opportunities and you haven't capitalized on them, and you still not making no money at this point. This falls on you. And I'm going to tell you what, smart and homeless is not the words that I would use to describe you or your girlfriend.
So are you suggesting that they do like some homeless porn on OnlyFans?
I'm saying, like, I mean, if you're saying you're smart, like, either do how to survive homelessness, or, you know, if you really want to take it up the next level, yeah, maybe some homeless porn will work, Claudia, or you know, homeless and in love, or
like homeless and happy.
Yeah, something. Like, I think we're all very curious about the homeless culture. Shine some light on it.
Hey, homeless couple, hit me up in my DMs. I'll produce something with y'all, because there could be a show there. I don't know about homeless porn, but maybe figure something out. All right. Keep It Loppy is coming up next. Tina Knowles is calling out the country trolls. And later, Coi Leray is side-eyeing those who don't cook. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all. Tina Knowles is tired of the haters attacking Beyonce's success in the country music world. Miss Knowles wrote, "We have always celebrated cowboy culture growing up in Texas. We always also understood that it was not just about it belonging to white culture only. In Texas, there's a huge black culture, cowboy culture. Why do you think my kids have integrated into it in their fashion and art since the beginning?" What are your thoughts on this criticism? And if anyone knows their history, the whole cowboy thing was started with black cowboys. Like, that's who was responsible for doing that kind of work back in the day. White people, you don't own it. Al, what do you think?
You know, she's right. I mean, we remember Destiny's Child wearing that cowboy outfit. We know Tina at one time used to wear a lot of Aztec jewelry every time you saw her out. You know, so it all makes sense. But let me tell you something. If I was Beyonce's mom, I would not give a hoot what people are saying about my daughter. My daughter is at the top of the game. She's one of the, if not one of the most famous, most successful entertainers, whether male or female, in the world. Why would I care what people are saying about my daughter? I just honestly wouldn't get my blood pressure up if I was Miss Tina Knowles about what these trolls are saying online, and just keep going with your daughter to the bank, because that's exactly where you all are going. Take care of your grandbabies, continue to fly on that private plane and ride on that beautiful yacht. I wouldn't care what anybody said about my daughter, to be honest.
All right. Armand, what do you think?
Yeah, Al, I agree with you there, too, because it's just like, first of all, you know, cowboy culture is embedded in Beyonce's blood. I mean, she's from Texas, for God's sake. And on top of that, it's like anything Beyonce does, she's a visionary. She's always going to set new trends. She's always going to move the culture forward. So there's always going to be a conversation around anything that Beyonce does. So at this point, Tina, she should just know, why are we even talking about it? There's no reason to get up there and defend Beyonce at every turn of her career, just because she's going to keep people talking, because that's just simply who she is. And this is, you know, quite frankly, why she is in the position that she's in right now, because she keeps moving the needle forward. She keeps people talking, and she's always doing things that other people just simply aren't able to do. So I think that this just is a testament to show how great Beyonce really is. And, you know, outside of being offended, she should be more proud, because this goes to show, like, yeah, my daughter really shifts culture. And now she's got every black person in the world that may not have even been interested in country music or cowboy culture walking around, you know, in cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. Everybody wants to be from Texas now, you know, even here in LA, everybody wants to be from a Southern Belle. So I think she should be proud of her daughter and then quiet out the noise.
Yeah,
I think she's proud, but she's probably also sick of it. You know, think about it. She's had to hear the criticism from Beyonce, from the fans, like, you know, probably Beyonce crying to her at some point about it. And it doesn't matter, you know, how rich and famous you are. I'm sure it just still irritates people to still, like, no matter what her daughter does, especially it got really racist, like how these country music stations were trying to, like, keep Beyonce off their channels, which is crazy. And I understand she doesn't respond to everything, which is good, but I'm gonna let her have this pass in my book, cause I'm like, I get it, girl, cause you're probably sick of it, you know? And that's your daughter, she loves it. We don't have kids, so we don't know how that feels, but I think she's probably like, defend my daughter. I'm thinking maybe this is getting to Beyonce, that's why she would even bother to say something. But again, white people, here y'all go, racist white people, here y'all go again, thinking that you own something that no one else can have a piece of, and how dare they come into your playground and dominate. And once again, do your history. I just came off of going to an HBCU. Okay, we talked about this. If you go look historically, a lot of people that were doing the cowboy work, they used to call them cowboys, they were black men. So, you know, you didn't start it. You didn't start it. You kind of rocked with it for a little while, just like rock and roll. But once again, you didn't create that either. Sorry. Get original. Rapper Bobby Shmurda opened up about the reason he decided to take the independent route in his music career. Bobby said, "I made the label $178 million off my first single, and they gave me only $250,000. Well, damn. Are you surprised, Al?
No. We're not surprised. Bobby Shmurda is called in advance, buddy. So everything that you spend has to come back out. I will say this. A lot of artists are taking this route. A lot of artists are being smarter. A lot of artists are saying, you know what? You got me once, but you're not going to get me again. And I'm going to take the independent route because I want all my hard work, all my sacrifice, everything, and all my good music, the reward of that to come back to me directly. And I like it. I think it's smart, and I think more artists should do it. And I think we should create a community, especially when it comes to financially helping them and also supporting them, to create a community for more people to take a step and do this. Because at the end of the day, just these record labels pimping people to the tune of how much? 170 something million, and he gets a quarter of a million. It just doesn't make sense, and it has to stop.
All right, Armand, what do you think about this?
I feel like artists are waking up. Like, you know, I think sometimes when you want an opportunity, you're really excited, so you don't read the fine print, and you just sign your life away. And then before you know it, you've had a viral moment, and then you're thinking this is going to, you know, be your big financial break. And then somehow you made the label all this money and you leave with pennies, you know? And so I think people are now waking up to that idea, like, hey, I can't give the label all this power because they want to control when my project comes out, who I work with, budgets, this, that, and the third. And I think now artists want creative direction, creative control over their music, over their albums, over their releases. And so now, you know, and they're seeing a lot of success with that. And I think Megan Thee Stallion, Chance the Rapper, artists showing that they can, you know, be independent and still be successful is inspiring a lot of other people now. So I think that's...
Now, Claudia, haven't we all been in this situation, though, before? Haven't we all been in this situation? Like, in order to get our foot in the door, we'll say, okay, just to, you know, just to get me in there, just to kind of like show that I got it, I'll take what you're giving me right now. But little do you know that sometimes those are golden handcuffs. But I can't be mad that artists do it, because we've all kind of wanted that opportunity, right? And it's just like, how do you try to take advantage of the opportunity, but also not try to be taken advantage of?
It's really hard. And this has happened to me. I've given ideas to companies that have run with them. I've had ideas stolen, things that I didn't end up owning. I saw a show that I had brought around the folks at a very big company, a cable company, and they went and did it with someone else after they heard my idea. And I wasn't protected at the time. I was new. And you're also like, you get hungry and you're like, well, you know, this first one will it'll show that, you know, my talents or what I'm capable of. And the next one, you may never get another golden chance like that. Right. And I just think that I love that people are vocal, like the Megan Thee Stallions and the others that are showing people you can do it and not be afraid. I think a lot of it comes from fear. Well, this is my one chance. And if I don't take this, I may never get this again. You can. And I don't know. I'll never again let like that kind of move happen to me again, because 178 million minus 250,000. That's not even 1%. Like, come on. Like, that is ridiculous. That's... And these companies should be ashamed of themselves, but they're not. They just sit back and reap the benefits. And they probably told them, oh, we ain't got money for that. We can't pay for this. No, oh, the budget. No, miss me.
And you got to think 250 at that time was a lot. So he's probably thinking this is great, but he probably didn't know how much they made off of it. You know what I mean? Yeah, he probably didn't know.
178 off a single with two singles is wild. Like, wow. All right. For those who are preparing to travel with American Airlines this summer, you better save up your coins. The airline is planning to raise their checked baggage fee by $10, which will now be $40. Mm-hmm. And if you check your luggage online, it will be raised $5, making it $35. What are your thoughts? And do you think other airlines will increase their baggage fees? Armand, what do you think about this?
I'm outraged. No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, I do not like the baggage fees, and I like American Airlines. However, I do not like these baggage fees, okay? So I think that, I don't know if this is inflation or what's going on here, but these fees are getting out of control for every little thing. I'm not here for it at all. I remember one time, really quick story, I didn't know the fees had got so out of control. One time I went to Paris, and I just thought, you know, maybe $45 here. I was set for that. Child, them baggage fees was $175. I was gagging. I was like, this stuff is crazy. Make you not want to travel. I'm thinking like, you know, get me some Southwest, or do I have any points on my American Express? Because, child, I can't afford it. To be honest, it's too much.
Well, you know, and I will say this to the credit of Joe Biden. He's been trying to get rid of these junk fees. And people say, oh, what has Biden done for us? There's been things that he's been trying to do. He's also trying to cap the fees of late fees of credit cards to $8. Yeah. There's little things like that will improve your life, but we have to be supportive of our politicians and our presidents when they try to do things like that. And then we can't sit back and, no one's doing nothing for the little guy. He was really trying to get junk fees, which he calls junk fees. Some of these baggage claims, these baggage fees are really ridiculous. Like, you guys made record profits off people when we're doing our worst. Like, I just think it's ridiculous, the price gouging. What do you think about this increase?
Hey, this is why I don't check bags. I honestly do not check bags. I have two bags that I take on the plane with me everywhere. And anything that I can't get on that bag, I mail it. It's cheaper. It's cheaper. You guys really should check into it. USPS. It's cheaper sometimes to mail your clothes to you. Don't mail your shoes. Take your shoes with you. Mail the things where the weight is less. So for me, if I can't get it in those two things, I mail it to myself.
I have a tip for y'all, but you know that you can get away. You can get around this stuff, even with the big bag. You know the airlines tell you that if your bag's too big to check, you have to check it, and then you have to pay the fees. Mm-hmm. Do you know there's a line at the airport that you can go in that you can bring an oversized bag through TSA? So this is what I do when I'm running late, and they say it's too late to check your bag. I go, oh, okay. I go to TSA. And I say, they told me that I can gate check, because I've been told that before. Take your bag to the gate. And then they'll say, oh, ma'am, this is too big. Why did they let you? Oh, they told me I could gate check. And then they have to do it. And then they don't charge you. I have gotten huge bags through.
Claudia Joy, that's because you are a beautiful woman going through the airport. Let a man try that. They will send you back to the counter.
I told my friend Trey, and he did it too. He goes, your little trick worked. And I'm like, I know. So I'll never miss a flight from a late bag. And there is a line. People don't know. Yo, there's a line for bags that are bigger to go through TSA. TSA is not the airline. They don't care.
I have never seen a line.
Me neither.
There is a bigger bag. They have one. And then and your oversight. Anyways, hey, I'm trying to make your life easy.
Y'all, I want to try it now. I mean, I don't check it baggage, but I'm going to look for that line for sure.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm telling you. Oh, so someone said good old U.S. Postal Service and gate checking. I'm telling you, they get mad sometimes and they go, well, just this time. And I go, oh, my God, thank you. I've been doing that stuff.
I'm going to look for it.
And Al, real quick. So how do you make sure you get your stuff in time?
Well, you get a tracking number and you decide, like, usually, like, if it can't go into the two bags that I have that I take on the plane, then that means I'm going to be there for more than 2 days.
Uh-huh.
Right. So everything that I put in the bag, I wear the first 2 days, and the stuff that I have mailed to me gets there on the third day. And I start wearing that stuff the third or fourth day. And you have a tracking number so you can track and make sure that it's on track or on time. So that's just the little tricks that I do, because it helps eliminate me having to go down to baggage claim, take more time getting it, you know, so I skip all of that. But, you know, I'm like, I say this all the time. I'm on 11 different planes a month. So you learn these little tricks like Claudia, you learn these tricks, buddy.
I'm telling you. All right.
Around the headaches.
Keep it locked, because coming up next, Coi Leray is calling out people who can't cook. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, Coi Leray is calling out this generation's lack of skills in the kitchen. She posted, I don't understand how our generation don't know how to cook. I don't want what y'all cooking in the air fryer. Pull out them good old scratch up pans, turn on a 2000s R&B, and let's get busy, people. Do you agree? And do y'all cook? Armand, do you cook?
I don't cook. So my partner cooks. And I feel like, you know, it's my parents' fault, honestly, because my dad, they would always tell us, like, don't go in there, turn the shit on. Never really truly learned how to cook. So at the end of the day, I don't blame anybody but my parents, because we didn't really do a lot of cooking here and there. We would eat out. So
before I answer this question, did I hear partner? We got a little partner?
Yes, it's been that.
You have a live-in?
Yes.
Okay, we got to get that out of you another day.
Al, you are crazy.
You know what? It's so interesting. I loved how she said, break out those old scratched up pans, because it reminds me that she's got some older influences in her life. And it was cute. I liked it. I liked the fact that she made those references. But at the same time, you know, I don't cook either, but I do a lot with the air fryer. So don't let the air fryer get a little straight bullet. Oh, Lord. I'm not even going to try to say
Coi Leray.
There you go. But the question here, though, is do you cook, young lady? I would like to know if you know how to cook. And if so, because I went up and down your Instagram, I didn't see any cooking going on. So are you speaking from personal experience or is it just something that you prefer?
I think not just with cooking, but just everything that's home ec. Ever since they took that out of school, like people, I feel like a lot of young people are like helpless. They can't do anything. They can't change a tire. They can't cook some food. They don't know a lot about home stuff that like our parents, like if our parents didn't teach us, we definitely learned it in school. I remember we had like a sewing class that boys and girls had to take. We had to like learn stuff in shop so we can like learn how to like use hammers and nails and screwdrivers and drills. And I think we need to get back to that because all this abstract math you want to teach us that we never use. Who's ever used A plus C plus D equals X, Y? We haven't really used, I mean, not really. Like some of that abstract stuff with all that geometry stuff, unless you were an architect, waste of time. But show these people how to cook. Show these fellas how to change a tire. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of things these youngsters cannot do. All right, y'all, moving on. Questlove is facing backlash after adding Sexy Red to this year's Roots Picnic lineup. One person wrote, of all the sisters doing positive hip hop, y'all really going to promote this hot ass mess. Another added, she's a 45 supporter too, Trump. Armand. She might throw up a pair of those Air Treasons that Armand will be wearing. All right, Questlove responded to the backlash and said, Roots Picnic is well-rounded and that's why it works. What are your thoughts, Al? What do you think?
I was disappointed. Oh, I wouldn't say disappointed. I was surprised as well because, you know, him and his band have always talked about, you know, artists, authentic artists, the artistry of being an artist. And, you know, I mean, it could be debated that, you know, that Sexy Red is very trendy. But, you know, I guess if they're trying to be more inclusive, this makes sense. Because, you know, she is big. She is hot. Her music is popping. And if you play it, everybody at that picnic is going to move. So I don't know. This, to me, it is different than we've ever heard them speak before in the space when it comes to artists. Everybody on that, on his team. So maybe it's a trend. Maybe he's following it. Maybe he's being more inclusive. And he's understanding the influence is just not one way anymore.
I'm in this space with like putting on shows. It's to make money. She's relevant. She's making money. This is what the youngsters want. We may not agree with our big ages and our big ass old ages, but that doesn't matter. This is what the young people want. So you have a festival. If you want to sell out, these festivals are extremely expensive to put on. The city does give you money a lot of times. I will say that. That's a little bit of info for y'all. This, you can sometimes get money from the city. But like for the most part, you have to put up huge amounts of money, give these big ass deposits. He wants to make sure he has a sold out show. And how do you do that? A done deal nowadays is to put something like a Sexy Red or someone that these young kids are going to go crazy for and go buy the tickets. You see, they're going to support everything she does. So this is a moneymaker. I get it. Now, if we're talking about a panel to speak on the, you know, the politics or the state of Black America, okay, yeah, there's no space. I don't really think for Sexy Red, but a music festival to sell tickets, I get it. Would y'all go to this? I heard that festival is actually pretty dope.
I would go, and I would go for Sexy Red, but I'll also go for Jill Scott. I would go for everyone. I think festivals are cool, and I think it's important to include everybody. I think there was a statement that he also made, and he was saying like a lot of people that feel some kind of way about Sexy Red is because now they are reminded that the hip hop that they liked is now 30 years old versus what's now current. I just think that if people expand their palate, like how we are supposed to know, you know, older stuff, you know, people should be open to the newer types of sounds these days, because that's how you stay current and you stay relevant. You know what I mean? A lot of times we don't need to live in the past with everything. Sometimes it's okay to move forward and open up doors for the new generation coming through.
Now, I will say some of the stuff that's out there is trash. I mean, there is a girl that has a song about tampons and you see a close up in the video of a tampon hanging out of her coochie, and the young people, it's like race to the bottom. Who's the most shocking? I get that. But hey, if that's what sells and you're trying to make money as a promoter, I get it. Unfortunately. There's some other festivals that's going to be going on. I know we have a little bit of time to spend here right now. So, there's the Lovers and Friends Festival in Vegas. That's a really fun one. I've been to.
Are you doing the soul one that we did last year?
I'll definitely be at Soul Beach. Soul Beach every year in Aruba is such a good time. Like, that is it's a grown crowd, but they still have a lot of fun, and it's fun. That is Memorial Day weekend every year in Aruba. And Mark Atkins.
Who's on the marquee? I think it's Mariah Carey.
Boyz II Men.
Uh-huh. And there's one more. Who was the other one?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think the comedian is Earthquake.
Oh, okay.
But that is a fun festival. You can ever get want to combine a vacation and some good music, and like there's never fights. It's not that kind of crowd. Like it's a
and
fun.
It's not like super like everybody's on top of you, kind of like a Rolling Loud. It's not super crazy like that.
No, because like not everybody can like afford to go down to Aruba. You know what I mean? Like when you make it a destination festival,
yeah,
it does make it harder. You know what I mean? Like it's like you gonna really want to be there, and they have it a lot of the things outside on the beach. So you're gonna see last year they had a comedy show on the beach outside. So it was amazing. Who would y'all like to see perform at a festival?
Nicki Minaj, Megan Thee Stallion.
Well, I am excited for the Essence Festival this year. I'm pretty sure I read this somewhere, but Queen B has been booked. Beyonce will be at Essence Festival this year. So I'm really excited. I really think that's going to be really huge.
Okay. Yeah. She's always going to be good. And I would love to go see her there because I didn't get to go to the Renaissance Tour. So yeah.
You didn't go to the Renaissance Tour at all?
I didn't.
That was a good show.
I think when she came to Dallas, I was in Panama doing the show, the Deal and Audio show. So I planned to go, and this was a very booked year for me. So I really didn't have time to go, but I'm sad I missed it. All right, y'all. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Please make sure to rewatch the repeat that plays the very next day and hit that like button. Keep those numbers up and tell a friend. Stay tuned for Foxhole Face Off, and we'll see y'all back here tomorrow. Y'all be good. Y'all behave tonight, okay? I know you're not going to, but try to.
It's Monday. What exactly can we get into? Well, that's not
a lot of things you can get into, and things can get into you. Don't matter what day it is. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Have a good night.